Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to blogtalkradio.com/Darlene Lewis. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. The show is called Hear No Evil. How are you guys doing out there today in cyberspace? Hi, I'm here talking to you due to the fact that I can do it no matter where I am. It's just a wonderful thing having an online radio show and to be able to deal with topics that are controversial and at the same time interesting. Today's topic, would you snitch if your child committed a crime? Now, that may be a very, 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 very sketchy subject for most of you, but to me, I don't think so. I think that I want honest people to call in at 347-989-0761 and give me your honest opinion. Because if your child was involved in a criminal act that could land them in jail, would you report them to the police? Why or why not would this be considered an easy task for you to do or a hard task for you? Give me your honest opinion. Put yourself into, let's say, the uncomfortable shoes of the parent of George Zimmerman, the guy that was accused, well, he hasn't even been accused, but admitted to shooting an unarmed teenage young man in Sanford, Florida, over a month ago. Put yourself in that parent's shoes if you can. Also, we are giving small businesses, authors, singers, promoters, producers, individuals an opportunity to promote their products, goods, services, and events on our radio show weekly for 1 month. You pay $100, and if you commit to 2 months, well, you will automatically get promoted on our television show, Celebrity Showcase, which airs every Wednesday at 6:30 on Channel 56, on channels RC and Cable 83, Fios 34, and online simultaneously at www.mnn.org, and you would just click on the Lifestyle Channel 2 network, and your products will be promoted on there. We'll be right back.
Loving you is hard. I feel like I'm about to hurt myself. And I don't want to do it, baby.
is a V103 exclusive.
Brandy and Monica, Monica and Brandy, and All Belongs to Me.
Yeah, that was Monica and Brandy. Now, remember back in the early 90s, they did a song, The Boy Is Mine, that was really, really hot. I just think that both of them together, they work so well together as opposed to them working apart. It all belongs to me. Now, on a sad note, Gil Noble died today, the age of 80. The ABC, WABC TV New York announced the death today of broadcasting legend Gil Noble, producer and host of the nation's best talk show and the station's groundbreaking public affairs program Like It Is. Gil Noble was 80 years old and had suffered a devastating stroke last July, which ended his long career. He was born in Harlem on February 22, 1932. Yeah, go Pisces. Noble spent his life serving the community he loved. He was recognized locally and nationally as a dedicated journalist whose work brought attention to the African-American struggle for advancement. Gil Noble's life and work had a profound effect on our society and culture, says the general manager, Dave Davis. Now, his contributions are a part of history and will be remembered for years to come. Today, our hearts are with Gil Noble's family, his wife, Jean, and their five children, and we thank them for so lovingly sharing him with the world all of these years. Noble, whose career in television news and programming spans over five decades. He joined WABC TV as a reporter in July 67 and was named anchor of the station's Saturday and Sunday night newscast in January of 1968. Later that year, he became host of Like It Is. Debuting amid the nation's racial turmoil in the 1960s, Like It Is created the largest body of programs and documentaries on African Americans in the country. Gil Noble dedicated long hours of research and investigation to ensure a consistently high quality for the program. He often said he learned as much doing the show as his viewers did watching it. Noble felt it was his mission to reunite African Americans with the untold stories of their history, and he believed Like It Is offered a rare opportunity for viewers of all races to look at events through an African-American perspective. Now, throughout his career, Noble interviewed many national and international luminaries, including heads of state President Nelson Mandela of South Africa and President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe, entertainment icons Bill Cosby, Harry Belafonte, and Lena Horne, sports stars Muhammad Ali and Arthur Ashe, and political notables from Jesse Jackson to Louis Farrakhan. He created documentaries on W.E. Du Bois, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Paul Robeson, who's my idol, and I loved him, and Charlie Parker, among many, many other notables. Now, the family will announce plans for a funeral service when arrangements are confirmed. They ask that in lieu of flowers, donations be made to the Gil Noble Archives. And that address is P.O. Box 43138, Upper Montclair, New Jersey, 0743. Now, I'll repeat that again. The Gil Noble Archives, P.O. Box 43138, Upper Montclair, New Jersey, 07043. Proceeds will be used to preserve the archives so that Noble's mission of educating the community about its culture and history will continue. And that bit of silence was for the family and Gil Noble. I'll be right back.
There was always something there.
That's classic Toni Braxton, In the Late of Night. What's on your teen's mind? Did you know that more than 1 million teens in the United States suffer from depression, yet fewer than one-third receive help? For some, depression is so severe that it leads to suicide, the third leading cause of teenage death. Even in less severe forms, teen depression is linked to poor performance in school, frequent absences, strained relationships, and substance abuse. Now, there are doctors that are working with Columbia University's Teen Screen National Center for Mental Health Checkups, a pioneering force in the early identification of mental illness in teens. When conducted thoughtfully and with parents' permission, a mental health checkup can help identify and address teen depression and other emotional problems early on. So, if you are a parent or a guardian, the next time your teen sees the doctor for a checkup or well visit, ask about free mental health screening questionnaires from Columbia University. Now, the questions ask about common issues in teens' lives. This is how it works. Teens can fill out the questionnaires in the waiting or examining room, and it should only take 5 minutes to complete. The doctor reviews the answers and talks about any areas that seem to worry your teen. If needed, your doctor will help your teen a referral through various behavioral health service programs. If your teen's doctor indicates that your teen may be experiencing depression or another behavioral health issue, be sure to follow up with a behavioral health professional. To learn more about Columbia University's Teen Screen Initiative, visit www.teenscreen.org. Keep your doctors in the know. Now, throughout my radio show, my radio broadcast today, I'm going to talk about medical and mental health because a lot of people take mental and medical health for granted. Many people with medical illnesses, including heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, also deal with mental health and substance abuse problems. Now, let's talk about that statement that I just made. Our poor, emotionally poor, sensitive, great singer, Whitney Houston, had heart disease. However, she was a substance abuser. Now, most people that are substance abusers suffer from depression of some sort. So some of these statements that I'm about to tell you will help your doctor keep you in the loop. Another thing I was concerned about Whitney is as if she had heart disease and this went undiagnosed, her family should be seeking some sort of lawsuit against doctors that prescribe various medications to her because certain medications have a negative effect. If you're taking medication for heart disease or for arteriosclerosis, and it may have a, you know, an adverse effect if you're taking some other type of antidepressant. So the different levels of medication in the body at one time can have a really messed up effect on your body and send your hormones, you know, crazy, and it can affect you mentally. Another thing about substance abusers that have a lot of money, they normally do not purchase the substance abuse themselves, but they'll have like a flunky or a go-see person that's hood savvy, so to speak, or they may have home deliverers, whereas substance abusers have people that know people. And if you have a lot of money, 9 times out of 10, you're purchasing in large quantities, which means that you have cut out a lot of middlemen. So if your doctor is diagnosing you or checking your blood levels and notice traces of substance abuse in your body and do nothing about it, to me that's not really a good specialist. So if you know someone that is a substance abuser, you should at least try to get them to seek some type of professional help. You know, medical and behavioral health issues, once seen as separate conditions, are now known to be related. Health plans, doctors, and patients need to work together to get a full, true health picture to get the best results. That's why it is so important for you to make sure all your doctors know about the medical and behavioral health care you are receiving. Now, the best way to do this is by signing a release of information form with every practitioner you are seeing. It gives your okay to let the doctors you list know about the medical and behavioral care you get, and to share information about the treatment plan. Now, if your doctor doesn't tell you about the form, be sure to ask for one. It's also a good idea to create a personal health record on a website to share with your doctor. So this way, there is always communication. Now, the most important thing that you should think about is preparing for the future. Have you made your medical wishes known? Completing a legal advance directive will provide clear directions for your family and your caregivers and peace of mind for yourself. If you can't express your wishes for medical or end-of-life care, two main types of advance directives are a living will. Now, this document records your end-of-life instructions in case you become too ill to speak for yourself. It allows you to accept or refuse types of medical care. You can specify if you want to be resuscitated or if you'd like to donate certain organs. Now, I belong to a union, and the union provided services for me to do a will. However, when I became a parent or a mother to twins, I had to revise my will. So it is very important that you keep your wills up to date, your living will up to date, because sometimes your life changes, or you may inherit money, or you may win a lawsuit, and that information may need to be known to your beneficiaries and your legal team and your administrator that's taking care of your business once you're no longer around. Also, a healthcare proxy. Now, this is a very, very, very important step that you must take, especially if you are an individual that's not married, or you don't have a lot of family members. This may help. A healthcare proxy lets you name someone to make medical decisions on your behalf. Now, this person does not have to be a family member. Naming someone you trust on a proxy form allows this person to make decisions based on specific situations that may arise. Now, completing proxy forms may be easier than you think. Sample forms are available online, and you don't need to meet with a lawyer. But once you complete the paperwork, be sure to give copies to your doctor, your appointed agent, your lawyer, and others involved in your care, such as family members. You can update these forms later if your wishes or medical situation changes. Advanced directives prevent confusion and heartache if you become ill, because sometimes you could become ill and not able to speak. So if you have instructions, it will be easier for people to handle your personal business. And since accidents and illnesses aren't age-dependent, completing these forms is important for people of all age. Now, I'm telling you this for a reason. My mother knew that she would not be surviving pancreatic cancer. So in 1989, she made a living will. And not only did she do a living will, but she also created instructions on her burial. She decided that she did not want to be resuscitated, and so she was allowed to go to a terminal ill facility called Calvary, which was a beautiful hospital in the Bronx. I mean, the place was beautiful. It smelled good. And it was similar to the hospitals that you see, like, on the soap operas and in the movies, nothing like the regular hospitals that you may see in your local neighborhood. But these hospitals just prepare people for the end of their life, and they make their lives very comfortable. And it was really heartbreaking for me to accept it, because I was in denial for a while that she would just beat this pancreatic cancer. But, you know, not too many people survive pancreatic cancer. It's a very, you know, back then she passed at age 90. I'm sorry, at age 50 in 1990, a week or two before her 51st birthday. And back in 1990, cancer research wasn't as advanced as it is now. So there are early detections that you can deal with, and, you know, and there's just so much better care for acute conditions. But like I said, she prepared a living will. She had a proxy. She knew how much money she wanted to spend on her funeral, even though I kind of took over because I wanted her to go out really nice. So I kind of like spent more money than she really wanted me to spend on her funeral. But I mean, you have to really, you know, it's your mom. You don't want to put her in just anything cheap. But the good thing about me and my mom, that what I did, and I recommend to you, I purchased plaques so that if something happened to me, my twins would not have to worry about where I would be buried. So we got a place where I could go, or my mom could go next to my mom. So that saves a lot of money. This way you don't have to always look for a place. And, you know, if you believe in a hereafter, sometimes you may visit your significant other. I don't know. I mean, I just believe that, you know, it would be easier and cheaper for me to do it like that, so that my twins would not have to worry about where I would be buried. So it's very important that you do those things in advance. It is extremely important. Now, I also want to talk to you about the benefits of colon cancer screening, because it seems like a lot of individuals are not paying attention to this process. And I want to talk to you about health conditions, being that no one has been calling in to talk about would you snitch if your child committed a crime, which is a very, very deep topic, and I don't think any individuals are prepared to deal with that type of activity. So I am not surprised that people are not calling in for that topic. But remember, that topic is still the panel discussion for this evening. If your child was involved in a criminal act that could land them in jail for a long time, would you report them to the police? Give me a call at 347-989-0761. Now, Types of screenings. Colorectal cancer screening can encompass a few tests used for different purposes. Your doctor can tell you which test is right for you. A fecal occult blood test. Simply test stool for blood. This test can be performed right in the doctor's office and is not invasive. Thank you for calling Hear No Evil. You're on the air. Caller from a 702 area code.
Hi, Darlene. It's Kimikaze.
Hi.
Hi, honey. How are you?
How are
you? Loving all the health information, but I'm calling to support you and discuss the topic about
yes.
what I snitch.
Well, you know, I am so glad that you called in as a legend. I have a legend here on the air, but tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself before we go into the topic.
Well, I only have one child. And, oh, you mean about me personally or about
yes,
me as a mother?
Yes.
I don't like talking about me. You know that.
You have to promote yourself. You're a legend.
Well, I can't say that. If you say it, it's okay. But anyway, I'm working on my autobiography for my experiences in breakdancing and hip-hop. So I'm working on that now, hopefully to finish it. And because of you, I'm just about to put my first book, The Secrets She Hid in the Night, out on Amazon.com because I just had somebody edit it. So I'm going to have a big dedication to you and a big thank you to you.
Oh, my God, you're going to make me cry here.
Why? Because it's because of you. You know, you just don't promote yourself. You promote, you know, your friends and you're always looking out. So got to look out for you.
Oh, well, I really appreciate that. And I wish you a lot of luck with that. And believe me, it gets a little frustrating. But
I know, but you put me on the track and you were the one who really, you know, lit the fire.
Yeah, you got to do it. You know why? Because if you don't tell your story, someone will be the author of the dictionary of your life. And
right.
We have too many fake stories going on out there. And we need to let everybody know how much women played a part in this hip-hop and b-boy lifestyle.
Well, yeah, I that's another thing that, you know, there's a lot of made-up stories. People are changing the history to suit themselves or their friends. And, you know, that's got to be put a stop to because these people are going to other countries where they may not be so knowledgeable and in the know-how of, you know, how it all went down. And they're just making up things and, you know, it's not right. People pay to go and these people are paid to speak the truth and give the history and they're just changing it and down and out lies. So that's got to stop. You know, if you're going to represent, at least represent it the way it was.
Exactly.
Anyway,
So the topic, would you snitch? Now think about this carefully. Put yourself in the shoes of a parent that knows that their child committed a crime. Would you call police?
I thought about this before I called you, as soon as I saw you were doing the subject. And, you know, I guess you never really know what you would do until you're in a situation, because I rarely try to be an honest person. But as a parent, I think that's a whole different ballgame. And I don't think I could, you know, I would snitch on my son. I just don't think I could do that. I don't. You know, I guess because I raised my son to be a good kid and he, you know, I don't would expect him to go out and do something like this to anybody. And if he was a bad kid and was going down a bad road and was just like hurting people out there, then I think I would. I think I would for his own good. And it's my responsibility as a person, as a human being, even if it is my own child, to stop them from hurting other people. So I guess if I had that type of a child, then, yeah, I would have to. It would be my responsibility because he's just going to go out there and hurt somebody else.
Right.
Like,
now,
if this guy Zimmerman has, well, they say he has other problems and, you know, domestic violence or whatever he has, you know, he's already down a road of violence and hatred.
Mm.
But my son, knowing my son, and I'm not putting a halo on him, but you know how we both feel a lot of the same ways about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought my son to be a gentleman and to treat people with respect and, you know, never raise your hands first, but if you have to defend yourself. But, you know, I don't think I would snitch on him. I really don't, and that's honest. And maybe, you know, it's wrong. But like I said, if my son was a bad kid, then maybe I would.
Right. Now, I'm getting mixed signals from a lot of people that are, like, emailing me, telling me, well, you know, how could you do this to your child, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, well, you know what, let me change it up and tell people to put their position as if they were George Zimmerman's father. Because I have a funny feeling that the more people talk about George Zimmerman's good side, there's something about them that they're covering up for him. Because even if a person shot someone in self-defense, there should be some type of remorse on the family that...
Exactly.
Says, I'm sorry he did that. However, you know, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard anything like, I'm sorry, it was a mistake, I don't know how to fight, so I had to shoot. Because I thought that if you shoot first, if you shoot someone or if you stab someone, that the person that you're shooting or stabbing has a weapon just as equal as the one that you have. And we have another caller calling in from a 646 area code. Welcome to Hear No Evil. We're on the topic of, would you snitch if your child committed a crime?
Wow. That's
Hello?
A hard question to ask. Answer.
Well, yes, we hear you, caller. We hear you. Welcome. Welcome to Hear No Evil. Okay, your name?
It's Nevs.
Nevs, another recording artist or hip-hop recording artist. Well, I'm getting all of the musicians calling in. Kim, meet Nevs. Nevs, this is Kim.
Hi.
How you doing, Kim? How you doing?
I'm doing good. We want to hear what you got to say. A man's opinion.
Well, I just got in, so I was trying to, you know, I guess I got to listen in a little bit more on the conversation because I just got into
okay.
the conversation. So
we'll pick it back up.
The conversation.
Darlene, what you were just saying about having some remorse and, you know,
right.
as a human being and you know, I mean, I'm not trying to make myself sound anything, but I am such a extreme person. I'm a very caring person. I don't like to see people get hurt. However, when you step on me, I am just, you know, I do what I got to do. It's a weird thing about me. Now, I know I had to defend a neighbor, okay? The guy was ready to go into the home. He had already tried to steal their car a couple of times. He wanted the rims. He was going in for the keys. She was 8 months pregnant with a little girl and elderly parents, and I seen him going over the wall into that house.
Mm.
I went out with my shotgun. This
yeah.
dude
oh,
pulled
wow.
a handgun. He pulled a pistol. So he wasn't going in there just to sneak and rob. He was going in there with a pistol.
Mm.
Okay? Now, I didn't want to shoot the guy if I didn't have to. So, you know, you enter that moment of taking somebody's life. Now, this dude did not have a gun pointed at him. I did, and I still consider this man's life.
Wow.
Okay? He
wow.
thought I wouldn't do it. I shot one warning shot over his head. He got
okay.
scared and shot back at me. I cocked my shotgun again, and if he would have kept coming, I'm shooting him. But in that moment, now this isn't coming to my house. You come to my house, it's a different deal. This was
exactly.
outside on the street, and I really did too. I want to take this man's life.
Mm.
So, you know, you put yourself in that position. I thought about it because I'm a caring human being. To
right.
shoot somebody, I don't care if they're beating your ass. If they don't have a weapon, how do you pull out a handgun?
This is what I am trying to understand about most people that carry guns. Like, as a law enforcement individual, you know, when you have a gun, that is a very important responsibility.
Exactly.
What are you protecting? Like, to walk around and, you know, to say you're a neighborhood watch. And I can understand, you know, a lot of people say, you know, these young kids, you know, they're portrayed in the media and the news as being, you know, reckless and, you know, no morals. But come on, at some point in your life, you have to stop living in fear. And for it just seems to me that
he wasn't in no fear. He was playing. He wanted to kill. He just took that opportunity to be a hero. Go ahead, Ness. You got to jump in. You go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one thing. Like, I'm not talking about all cops. You know what I mean? Because there's some that actually probably join to, you know, want to fight the law and all that other good stuff, whatever. But my experience is a lot of them actually try to join because they were usually, not literally me, but they were usually either kids I punked in school or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's like their chance of getting back.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, well, that's true. A lot
of
people
join
a job of being in power because they'll abuse it.
Right.
Because they want to be that tough guy, right.
Yeah, and I think like that's the reason why you have all these situations right now where it's like, well, they went into this person's house and they didn't have no weapon, but their best claim was, oh, they had a knife and they threw the knife. If you notice, like, a bunch of these, you know, these stories have been the same story.
That ain't no coincidence.
That just points to me out, like, you were completely one of those punks that I used to punk in school. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, you know.
Yep. No, I know what you're saying. Listen, my brother is a cop and a detective. And I had the utmost respect for the law. But that story I was just telling with the shotgun, listen, I didn't have to hand this dude my security tape. Okay, now, I had my tape. My security pans four cameras, but I had stopped it when I seen this dude across the street. So you can only see part of what's going on and hear the rest. I gave this cop my tape. I showed him my shotgun, which had never been fired before that. And this dude is standing there, this cop, calling me a liar, saying that I shot twice, that this guy didn't shoot at me. Do you know I had to go find the bullet case in the next day and call them back? So here I am respecting the law. Now, I'm not black, so I can't understand. I mean, I do understand, but I can never know what everything that you have to experience.
Right.
I do know that when even me with the law, and like I said, my brother was a cop detective, but even me with the law, I don't trust. I feel like they're coming to get me, even though I called them. So I do understand what you're saying. To a point,
yeah,
I really do.
You know, don't get me wrong, like, but like I said, my thing is, if it's gonna be those, that's the reason why I don't respect it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if you're one of those dudes that we used to punk in school, and you feel like you really want to be, you know, really badass and actually get a gun,
right?
You know,
revenge.
You know, get on the force or whatever, just for the situation. Nah, don't get on the force. My thing is like this: don't get on the force. Get in the army.
Right.
Let them send you over there. You know,
there
like
you
that's my thing.
Because they're punks. They're punks.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
the people
point.
Who got to do it that way. They roll that way because they're a punk.
Well, listen, guys, I only have a few minutes left.
Okay.
So, Nev, I just want to hear, would you snitch if your child, now, when I say child, it can be any age. If your child committed a crime, would you contact the law enforcement? Think before you answer.
I couldn't answer that question.
Put yourself in George Zimmerman father's shoes.
I couldn't answer that question. Honestly, answer that question.
Why not?
It's a hard thought. I couldn't answer that question.
See, for a woman, one of the comments that Kim made, which I clearly understand. She said, if I raise my child a certain way and I know he's a good person, it would be hard for me. But if he was just a bad seed and he just was doing everything wrong and I just and he just didn't learn his lesson, she would call. So try using those two categories as when you answer internally what you would do. Because as you have to realize that it's only right for a person to, I'm not saying that going to jail will correct the mindset, but sometimes jail does straighten people up. You know what I mean? So if you allow the person to commit a crime, if you know a person committed a crime and they're related to you, they're your child, what's to say that they won't do it again? So sometimes you have to nip things in the bud. That's just my opinion.
I agree. Listen, so, you know, look, the way I come from, you know, you don't rat. That's like the worst thing. But what I'm saying is I could not allow my child or anybody else to go out and knowing that they're going to continue to hurt and maybe take somebody else's life, some other child, somebody's mother, somebody's father, you know. I couldn't do that because now I'm an accessory to murder, letting him go out there and continue to do this. So I would have to rat and call the authorities if he was, you know, doing this kind of bad behavior. That's you know, the only way I would say I would rat on my son.
And as a mother, it is extremely hard to see your child suffer on any level,
yes,
whether they're doing the right thing or they're doing the wrong thing. That is something that you really, 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 really don't really want to see happen to your child, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. I go first before him. But
exactly. So, Nev, we're still waiting for that.
He said he couldn't answer. That's not honest, you know.
I gave him two categories, a good seed and a good seed.
I've never been a snitch. I can't even, you know.
Okay.
But what if you had, do you have any children? No?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, now, what if you had a child that was just bad, just looking to hurt people and, you know, do you think, would you, and it's all right if you wouldn't or if you would. Nobody's judging you. We're just trying to get opinions.
No, I would say it's my job to probably try to correct it. I'll correct the reasons why it's being done.
Okay.
That's
so
my
job,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, but, you know, as far as, like, it's just my job to correct the situation. It's not, I don't look at it like, I don't look at it like, you send a child or somebody's kid to jail or whatever, and that's how it's corrected. That's not how it's corrected. Usually, it's from the head. It's usually from a broken family or something. So it's
Not necessarily. Look what happened with George Zimmerman. He shot someone in self defense. He alleges, but there's no video footage of the whole evening. No one's talked about tape.
Right.
Can I tell you one more thing why I think he also did it? I think he also, the decision that he had made before he even met that young man, Trayvon, he knew that this day was going to come, and daddy's a judge, and daddy has cleaned up after him before. So, you know what, when you got a parent that backs up your bad behavior and covers up for you all the time like Casey Anthony's mother, he figured he might get away with it. Let me get this good story going. It was self-defense. Okay.
Okay. That's, you know, wait a minute. Casey Anthony's story. Didn't that happen in Florida also?
I was just about to say that. Like,
no,
I don't know.
I don't. Florida. Forget it.
No. I'm just saying because, you know, like, you know, from what I hear, and like I said, a lot of me traveling and everything like that, like down there, it's pretty bad, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, as far as, like, you know, the racial profile thing or whatever, I'm not saying, like, literally every town is like that. It's just...
Well, you got it everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's everywhere, but I think in different degrees, different areas, it's different degrees. You know what I mean? And it's been known to be, like, you know, down south a little bit, sometimes Midwest is really bad.
But can I just interject, because I want to talk about in the next 5 minutes, and then we got to, like, wrap this up. There is a stereotype that has been thrust upon young people. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You guys probably don't remember, but about 20 years ago, social scientists created this category of Generation X. And that generation was systematically targeted to today's youth. Do you guys understand that? Because this generation right now will inherit a wealth of resources. They benefit from all of the inventions and all of the great things that has happened in this country. And there is a systematic conspiracy to get rid of them, because they are also intermingling and making money more than a lot of so-called, you know, former status quo people used to make money. Now the young
You know, I ain't like that.
No, but I'm just saying, there's all types of Caucasians. But then there are some that feel that they have never gotten over slavery being abolished. And that's a generational thing. And in the South, there is still that stigma. Like, you can go to other countries and they don't even think of you like that as a black or white. You know what I mean? You have to travel. When you travel, you see there's so many other things going on. They don't even think about it. Because then you got the Albanians and the Turks and the
That's learned behavior. That's taught, because we are not born. That's learned. And I'm sure you see many of my posts. My mom raised us, and my mom did not raise us that way. You know?
Thank God.
I just wrote a post. She didn't raise us that way. My brother dated a black woman for many, many years. She's still close friends with us, even though she's, you know, with somebody else. My ex was Puerto Rican. He was scared to death to come meet my family, you know, thinking, oh, my God, the Italian, you know, all of a sudden you're the mafia and all that. He loved my mother. That's the way my mother raised us, you know.
Right.
But so this learned hatred behavior from anybody who hates somebody because they're different is usually learned in the home.
Exactly.
First.
Exactly. You're right, because the home is the first teacher. But my thing is that because of the lack of cohesiveness of a community, people that are parasites that just target young people because they feel that, okay, well, you can't raise your child a certain way, so we're going to take control of your child. And because there's so much perpetuation of bad boys and, you know, gangsters, and then television is promoting, you know, this new generation of ghetto mobsters and studio gangsters, that people in the average world really believe that every child that's walking around with the hood on, with their pants sagging, is getting ready to rob you. And you know why? Because it is a known fact that there is more black on Hispanic crime than it is black on white crime. So these guys are scared, and I understand that. I understand.
Of course.
But at some point, reality has to set in and say, listen, why is there so much, why are these kids acting the way they are? When is it going to end? Like, does it take us to keep having dialogue and talk about, because it's going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening because people are going to say, well, that person is from a category. Let me tell you, I have been living amongst people of all nationalities all my life. So when you go to the South, there's so much separation. It's more segregated. It's not like it is like in the North, like you'll have like people from all nationalities in one state. So people need to get out more, learn more about other cultures. And that's an educational thing. And it's sad because you have governors and politicians that push the agenda that this certain nationality is doing this much crime. You see it in the news all the time. Every time somebody's getting arrested, who you see? You see a guy with a hood on, with his head down, with his pants sagging.
And that's not the only crime that's going around.
No, of
course
not.
But that's all you see on the news.
Yeah,
so
it's true,
So people that have a little bit of wealth want to protect their little cushion from the poor people. Mind you, 20% of the people that lived in that complex are Black and Hispanic. Okay.
You know, this is a whole other subject, and I know we don't have time for it, but you know what? I think our government loves it, you know, because people are so busy hating, hate on hate, white on black crime, and so busy, you know, hating on each other that it keeps us occupied from what's really going on.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And you know, that it's in the news so much about what's going on over here, and nobody's talking about all of the stupid stuff that's going on in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Our own army is creating.
No, you're right, and that's the thing I do hate, though. That's completely the thing I do hate. And
but,
you know what's funny? Like, I've been enlightened to that early on in school, you know, like early on in, like, high school. I've been enlightened to that. So it was like, you know, I pay attention to all that stuff as well, too, because my local teacher at the time was pretty much one of those activists as well,
mm-hmm.
even though she was Belizean.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. You know, you would not saying expected from whatever, but she was it made me look at things different.
But you know,
you know
I used to walk down the street, and when I see a young person, you know, reciting some hardcore lyrics that they're listening to, and I would always look like to the side of my eye, be like, is he really believing these lyrics? Is he going to act out this aggression? You know, so sometimes you do live in that fear when you are a certain age and you're not accustomed to people acting a certain way. And let's be real. Parents have to be a little bit more on top of their children's activities
mm-hmm.
so that these type of stereotypes and these type of situations cannot continue to go on. I believe we need a curfew for people of a certain age and that everybody should have ID on them, and I just believe that. I'm sorry, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah, but the problem also lies not within, it's not what you wear and how you dress. It's how other people perceive it, and that's sad. You know,
well,
you get
you know
on the bus and the white lady hides her purse and you walk in a storm and everybody's following you, and that shit got to stop.
Yeah, but you know what? It's never going to stop because people are living inside of a shell of what they read on the in the paper. They believe everything they see in the news. And then, of course, the churches and the religious places, you know, they have a gap between what's really going on in the community and the young people. So there's a generation gap. And then, like I said, movies and media has messed up people's minds so bad that they can't separate truth from reality, you know. But listen, this topic, we must close because I only have 40 seconds. Left. I want to thank you both for calling in. Please tune in every week at 6:30 to 7:30, and we can talk about topics such as this. And please email me at DarleneRenee Lewis@yahoo.com if you want to talk about other subjects and topics, because I welcome all of your comments. I am a work in progress, and it is a process. I want to thank you both for calling in, and I will see you on Facebook. Have a great night.
No problem.
Bye, Mama.
You too.
Bye, Ness.
Night.